Now, Dr. Joan Kenley, psychologist and author of Whose Body Is It Anyway, brings you Conversation Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to The Joan Kenley Show. Conversation Radio, where talking really matters. The theme of our show is the power of loving intention. I just love this one. And I've heard somewhere that as you travel through life, your dreams will guide you, determination will get you there, and love will provide the greatest scenery of all. Of course, this will be folded into our exciting conversation dedicated to touching your mind, body, heart, and soul. And our accomplished guests are Dr. Brenda Wade and Marcia Jaffe. And all three of us have so much to share today. We'll talk about how you can reframe and overcome blocks to intention, what Marcia and Brenda have learned from the amazing people they've worked with, and what spirituality and intention have in common. But first of all, I'd like to tell you about our guests. Dr. Brenda Wade, who's been with us many times, is a San Francisco-based psychologist, author, television host, and producer. National audiences know Brenda from her frequent appearances as a relationship expert on The Today Show. She's also a monthly host on Black Renaissance on the CW Network, and Brenda has authored Love Lessons, What Mama Couldn't Tell Us About Love, and Power Choices, 7 Signposts on Your Journey to Wholeness, Love, Joy, and Peace. Find out more about her at docwade.com. That's docwade.com. Marcia Jaffe is an entrepreneur and visionary. She's been creating and producing conferences and events for more than 30 years, bringing together up to 400,000 people around cutting-edge topics of national and global concern. She's a founder of the International Quest for Global Healing Conferences in Bali and of the Bali Institute for Global Renewal, something you all should know about, and you can learn more at baliinstitute.org. Well, I know both of you have had mentors and experiences in your lives that have shown you many times how intention really works in the world. Brenda, would you like to share with us how intention has played a role for you?
I think the most important thing is that sometimes our intention actually comes from others. And I was just thinking of my first training with Virginia Satir. I got this scholarship to go to what I thought was going to be a free vacation.
Oh.
And turned out to be the most pivotal experience of my life, because that's when I got out of hard science and into following the path that's led me to where I am in terms of transformation. And I lived for a month in a process community with Virginia Satir, who was the president of the World Humanistic Psychology Association and a great light in the field at that time. And at the end of the month, Virginia said to me, "Brenda, come take a walk with me." We were walking around this lake, and she said, "One day you're going to be doing exactly what I'm doing." Over the next 15 years, Virginia mentored me, she worked with me, she helped me to heal myself, which is really what I needed. Mm-hmm. And out of that self-healing came this emerging awareness that I had something to offer. I think she planted a seed because she could see something I couldn't even imagine in myself. But the other way that I think intention works is this key word, Joan, you've been using about loving.
Definitely.
The loving intention, because at the end of the day, that's the one, that's what Virginia did. She gave me a loving intention. Mm-hmm. She supported me in a way I hadn't been supported before.
And passing the wand on to you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I know, as I puzzle this business about loving intention, I think one of the most important things is to ask ourselves every day the question, am I treating myself in the most loving way? And am I giving someone else that gift?
Mm-hmm.
Because without knowing it, so many of us are passing on to others the wand,
exactly,
the love.
Exactly. And Marcia, you have a wonderful story to tell us about a friend of yours.
Yeah. Actually, before that, I just want to mention something that just came up when you were speaking, Brenda, about realizing that my mother was out working when I was very small. And My parents decided that they came to California and my dad couldn't find a job in engineering. And so they decided to, they were very involved in politics and doing, passing out flyers for Adlai Stevenson in the early 50s. And they realized that nobody had a business around what is now called direct mail.
Yes.
And so they decided to launch a little business from nothing. Neither one of them had any experience. My mother never even finished college.
An idea coming in from the universe.
Yes, and I have a feeling that, you know, my, especially my mom, because she really ran the business. My dad was machines. But, you know, to make direct mail business, which eventually became the largest one outside of L.A., it was in San Diego, she had to go out every day and convince herself that she could do this.
Bless her.
Yeah. And I'm sure that those genes were clearly planted in, you know, in my body.
And the emotional blueprint.
Yeah.
When we
yeah.
see that kind
I believe
of power,
in that. Yes.
And especially a mother and, for us as women,
yeah.
it's crucial.
And I actually love the fact that my mother worked. Because I could have more freedom to go and get myself in trouble.
Well, there's that story, too.
Right, exactly. Right. But it also just meant that, you know, my idea of women being out there carving or forging ahead in some way was clearly implanted. I never wanted...
And inspiring.
It was inspiring.
Yes.
Yeah. But I also have a quick little story, and that is with a woman that I worked very closely with when I was director of marketing at Gymboree. And it's a woman named Joan Barnes, who was the founder and president of the company. She was a big inspiration to me because here, you know, there weren't that many women in the 70s starting companies that ended up being almost like a Fortune 500 company.
Definitely not. Dollar company
from a little idea about bringing parents and children together. But she completely burned out. And in fact, her way of burning out was having a major eating disorder that no one knew about. And then eventually stepped down from the company and had to regroup, went to a treatment center, completely changed her life, and in the last 10 years has gotten totally involved in yoga. And lo and behold, she's launched two yoga studios. She's just opening the third and probably will be on her way, as Gymboree was a big franchise company that eventually became retail stores. I think there are 600 to 1,000 retail stores around the world. Who knows what she's going to bring to yoga? But again, it's a story that, you know, we all identify with only
yes.
the success stories.
Yes.
How we can move from what's good to what's not good to what's yes. good again.
Yes. Exactly. And in fact, just recently, some research came out saying that women, because they are multitaskers, actually absorb more stress in stressful jobs than men do. So therefore, we see women who can be, you know, the iron rose in a company, but they will take it into their bodies differently, and they have to take care of themselves in more ways that affect their body and soul and spirit. And if they don't, they end up sometimes experiencing what your friend experienced. But then, of course, her power of recovery is so great because innately she had that resource in her, that deep meaning of resource that we tap into. And we're going to talk about a lot about resource later. But I think that we have to look at these bumps in the road and some of the more tragedies and
yes.
sad moments. They are very serious, that they aren't just setbacks.
Well,
sometimes.
I call them initiations. I think each time we have one of those, it's a door opening. It's an opportunity. And I think, Joan, you actually started there with that idea that these things that seem to be bumps can take us someplace new. And this initiation is always a door opening.
And I love that word for it, because it's sometimes initiation by fire or by blessing or by...
And I don't think you ever really move forward without having something major that's not working. So we
Good
really
point.
Need to honor those parts of us and those parts of our lives where it doesn't work.
Yes.
Because that's usually more of a teacher than when everything's
Joy
going
doesn't
well.
Teach us a whole lot.
Right.
It's fun while it's happening. But the really digging in moments of truth come when we're self-reflecting and self-searching
yes.
for meaning.
Yes.
And so we really need to close it once again, a segment that could last a lot longer, because we're going to be back with both of our guests, and they'll be discussing how the five freedoms of renowned psychologist Dr. Virginia Satir has proposed for people to look at how they can open up intention in their lives. So keep listening. We'll keep talking.
You found it, and it's different. The Joan Kenley Show. What's Not to Love about the Joan Kenley Show, where talking truly matters.
I'm Joan Kenley, and you're listening to the Joan Kenley Show. We're in conversation about the power of loving intention, which you can absolutely use in your life. I'm so pleased that Dr. Brenda Wade and Marcia Jaffe are here as my guests. I have an Oprah Winfrey quote I'd like to share with all of you, and it's something I like a lot. She said, "Before you agree to do anything that might add even the smallest amount of stress to your life, ask yourself, what is my truest intention?" And of course, that's what we're talking about today. Give yourself time to say a yes and let it resound within you. When it's right, I guarantee that your entire body will feel it. Now, that's a good thing, especially when you're keeping in touch with the big four we talk about here, your mind, body, heart, and soul.
So we're going to talk about Virginia Satir's five freedoms. And these are really something that the audience can reach out and use because they're so specific. And we want to, you know, get some specifics here. I can tell you a little bit about intentional living is never an accident, can we say? It's always the result of purposeful intention that resonates within your whole being and the energy around you. And so Virginia's five freedoms do address that really well. So, Brenda, what would you say about the first one, which is to say what you think and feel?
It's not in a way that's hurtful, not in a way
Never.
That's blaming mm-hmm. or anything. But you simply say, I feel.
Exactly.
And what I've added, because I have been honored to build on my mentor's work, what I've added is it's not enough to just say what you feel. You must also say, and what I need or what I want from you mm-hmm. is this mm-hmm. in the most specific behavioral way possible so that it's clear for you and clear for the other. And because I do so much couples work, this
so
is
important.
Of utmost importance, especially when women are communicating with men. We need that verb.
We need the verb, and we need the structure of what to say, because when people get emotional, they forget what the techniques are.
Exactly.
And I've told people sometimes, write it down. Grab
exactly.
the piece of paper if you can't remember what the words are until they are part of what you say in a way that is helpful to you and to the other.
Right. Exactly.
And so, Marcia, let's go to reaching out for what you want as the second freedom. What could you tell our listeners about how they might think about that?
Well, again, I think one of the challenges of trying to live with intentionality is to identify what it is that you want, because it's not a stagnant, permanent thing.
Exactly.
It's changing all the time.
Right.
So what I think I want now may look very differently in 3 years once I'm into what it is I think that I want. And again, I use my closing up my business after I thought absolutely that had to be the way to go. And the truth was, it was a way to go, and it was a way to stop.
Yes,
and
yes.
So I think
but you reached out. You see, you took the first step, the second step, and the fifth step. And when it was over, it was over. But you see, each week you learned something. Each thing that you did taught you something and made you more complex and more really ready with an internal richness to come to what you're doing now.
And such a teacher. I mean, again, I think a lot of where I didn't, quote, measure up has been a much bigger teacher for me, because in the areas that I didn't feel I succeeded were usually the biggest teachers about what it is that's calling me mm-hmm. that's much deeper. And I have to listen more when things aren't going as well.
Well, so, you bet. And sometimes, I mean, I really think that one of my bad habits was pushing things ahead because I thought pushing was following my intention, or efforting, I might
ooh,
say.
Ouch, Joan,
yes.
You're stepping on my toes now.
Yes,
that's
yes.
one of my bad habits.
And so,
oh,
and,
boy.
And the challenge
okay.
is knowing
yeah.
when to push
yes.
and knowing when to let things evolve the way they're going to.
Right, and
that's
we're all
a big one.
We're all idea women. And so what happens
right.
is I had ideas, and so I would follow an idea. So I decided almost for a year to say no to every idea.
Wow.
I had the
that's
possibility
amazing.
To do that. And until I reached nothing below nothing in the way I wanted to erase the old efforting pattern, did I say to myself, I'm ready for the next step.
Yeah.
I mean, that
huge.
Was so big for me. But the fact that I had the courage to do it, I found out I was identified with the work as who I was.
Yes.
And about if I went to a gathering, I couldn't say what I was doing but really I was connecting with my being.
Yes.
And that was what I had to reach out for, and that looked like nothing, but that nothing was a big something.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
nothing
the thing.
Is a big something.
It is. Yeah. I'm just learning that, really, that having that time when there's nothing on the schedule, that is the richest time.
Yes.
That is the richest time. Yeah. And without that, I actually start to feel a little frayed around
the
edges.
Yes, we do. We do.
Yeah.
And even
we
if you can't
nothing.
Take a year, well, then you can take the 20 minutes before you go to bed. You don't have to have a year. But I had worked every day of my life for so many years that I actually said, I'm going to invest in myself to be different. Because I'd worked in the Diamond Heart work for years, and I'd been a psychologist and written books, but I just thought I needed the non-efforting. Even though I had much flow in my life, there needed to be that extra deeper way, the deeper way, the deeper intention.
And sometimes it means taking the investment of yourself.
Yes.
And your place in being and actively doing nothing is a huge investment towards your future. Even though it's not bringing in money, if you have to live on savings for 3 or 4 months.
Like your vacation to Bali.
Like my vacation to Bali.
And mortgaging your house to do the conferences.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
talk about. Well, that's getting on to the next freedom, isn't it?
It is to take risks on your behalf.
Risks.
So I'm sure, Brenda, you've
that arena. I've taken risks. I'm really impressed with the risks that you've taken, Joan, and you, Marcia. My God. But I don't think there's anything that we achieve without risks. We were talking earlier about fear, and this is a place we come right up against it. When we are up against the fear, and I have times when I feel like I'm slammed up against the wall because the fear is so huge. And the bigger the fear, this has been what I've learned in my life, the bigger the fear, the more I need to sit with it and feel the fear and say, okay, this must be a place for me to move through, because I wouldn't be this scared
That's
if there weren't something on the other
really
side.
Really important,
and on the other side to get to. I need to get there.
That's how big the challenge is.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And of course, we want to see what's there or here right now without illusion. And of course, Marcia, you know, all of us have been part of thinking illusion or magical thinking, and to separate intention from magical thinking is sort of an interesting divide, isn't it?
It is.
Well, that's interesting to think about what the difference is between magic and illusion, and I actually think there's a big difference.
Right.
And I don't think I've ever tried to define it, but let me try, because I feel like, you know, doing the kind of work right now that I find myself doing is very much in connection with magic. There's so much magic involved with believing you can make something happen and believing that you're going to make the right connections, you're going to find the money that you need, and it begins to happen.
Yes. Yes.
The illusion, it might be that maybe nothing is happening. You're sitting in your room.
Right. Good
and
point.
You're beginning to
That's
think about
really
it.
That's really good.
But it really isn't happening. Yeah. But if it begins to happen and you recognize that it's magic, keep going.
Yes.
Yes,
keep
and in
going,
fact, so. The magic of conversation, which we talk about here on Talking Matters, is what often takes us to the next step of what we are going to talk about. And we want to get to what is the freedom to be fully present. And that's about being in your mind, body, heart, and soul as much as you can, not leaving any one of those qualities out and inviting those in that you don't feel you have at the moment. And of course, we can talk about that some more. But let's just say we're telling you to stay tuned for our next segment, because we are going to be talking about organizations and support groups that can help you bring about personal change, and books, and which way might appeal to you. Keep listening, and we'll be back.
The Joan Kenley Show. Talk radio your way. Dr. Joan Kenley, taking talk radio to the next level.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Joan Kenley, and we're so happy to have our guests here today. We're talking about loving intentional change in our lives and how to do it and what you need to support yourself to do with it. And we're so glad that Dr. Brenda Wade and Marcia Jaffe can join this conversation. And if you could be having as much fun at home as we are here in the studio, you would be having a grand time. Dr. Brenda Wade, just to remind you, is a psychologist, author, television host, and producer, and her new book is called Power Choices. And Marcia is such a conference entrepreneur. I've admired her for years, and she's the visionary behind the Quest for Global Healing Conference series in Bali, and we're going to be hearing more about that, too, in this segment. And so we have to say the best way to keep good intentions from dying is to execute them.
Yes, so, that's very true.
We're all about executing. We're the execution gals today. And so we're going to talk about what kind of groups could actually help people who want to change their life intention from listening to this show, for instance, are plus the books, of course. What are the ways, what are the tools that people could look at that we might share with them?
Well, I'll start, Joan. It's because certainly, I mean, in my, you know, history of being entrepreneurial and also just starting out in my career life, you know, many years ago, having support groups was huge. I mean, I was in women's consciousness raising groups in the 70s. I've been in and out of therapy of every way, shape, or form. I've done retreats. I continue to rely, you know, heavily on friends who listen to me from a deep place. It's all about being in relationship.
Well, then we're all soul sisters, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yes,
we're sitting here together in the same way of just reaffirming, because especially to be willing to go into fear and hold your own and move forward and to move forward, not just talk about it, actually start to make things happen. You have to rely on the power of connection and collaboration in every possible way. And of course, women, I think we're so lucky about that, because women relate to each other, and we know how much we need each other.
Right.
We couldn't be doing this if we didn't have each other.
And that's why women's circles are starting today. I'm part of the grassroots Million Circle movement, and we are trying to help women create that circle feeling.
Fantastic.
Yes, indeed, with Jean Shinoda Bolden.
Yes.
And she has a fabulous book out recently called Urgent Message from Mother, Gather the Women, Save the World.
Right.
So
right.
We are talking to women every day about things that matter.
Yes. It's so crucial. It's funny because, again, I have that funny feeling of the karma. I started my first women's group when I was a student at the University of Washington. Among the graduate and professional students there, I think there were about 300 graduate professional students. There were 8 women of color. Mm. And each one of us, the only one in our department. And I remember thinking, okay, I need some support and somebody who understands what's going on here, because it was a pretty unenlightened time and we were really catching you know what.
Mm.
And I went to these different departments. I gathered these women up and said, come to my apartment, bring something to eat and something to share that is positive. There'll be no griping, no dishing, nothing negative. And out of that, I mean, we all felt so uplifted and empowered. So since that time, that's become a cornerstone for me. And when I'm working with people or working in my own life, I'm always looking for the support, because we really can't do it without support. And all the research is in. We all know the mind-body research that shows
the oxytocin that comes in when we're in a group with other people, the hormone that's produced in women.
I was speaking at a conference Sunday for women who are breast cancer survivors and talking about how much those women need to connect with other people and to get support.
Without question.
And the research is in on all that.
Even
a man. The buddy study, the famous buddy study showing that stress levels drop. But there are some specific groups that I think are invaluable, the 12-step programs.
Without question.
For example, because they do deal not just with the issue, but they build community and they teach spirituality in a very open and practical way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge advocate of 12-step programs and personal coaching. I actually just trained a group of people who are going to be power coaches that...
And we just had a show on professional coaching, Is It For You? And so
it's
a really very helpful and very popular way to go. And some people are choosing that and some people are choosing therapy.
Well, there's coaching and there's coaching. The coaches that I'm working with are working with this integrated model, looking at intergenerational patterns, whereas some coaches just say, what's your goal? And they'll walk you through, which is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go through what's stopping you. How do you get that out of your way?
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot recommend enough coaching, therapy. We need mentors. We need guides.
Circles.
If we were living circles, if we were living in tribal times, we'd be in the women's house having
without
this conversation.
Without question.
We are in the women's house. Joan Kinley is the woman's house, and here we are.
Yeah. So, Marcia, what have you seen that comes into the Institute and to the conference situations that brings this personal and collective support into the picture.
Well, it's really the next evolution of what a conference does. I mean, a conference gives people an opportunity to gather together around like-minded causes and issues. And this conference we just produced was about moving people into action, that we feel the people now are ready to not just talk about the ways they want to see the world change, but they want to talk about how are they going to make those changes.
That's great.
And what's going to empower people to feel passionate enough to take, you know, the intention of what they want to see changed in the world and go do it. So we have this unbelievable gathering, and of course doing it in Bali brings it onto another whole level around spirituality and being in connection with nature, with each other, and with spirit. Now, because it was so successful and we had so many people from all over the world who all believe the same kinds of things about making change in the world, it has to be, there has to be an institute. It's a big idea, and of course I'm terrified.
But tell us about
Tell
us about the model and about how the youth are going to be part of that.
And so of course the youth component is critically important, and we had hoped this time to find funds to bring about 30 young people from around the world. We're not just talking about the U.S. And I'm proud to say there were 87 young people from 15 countries between the ages of 17 and 30. And, I mean, there were kids there. There's a kid from Peru who is running for mayor of his town in Peru. And there's a kid from Sumatra that's going to start a school. And they ended up standing up and making commitments on what they're going to do going forward from this gathering. So the Institute will be a facility based in Bali that will bring together youth, world leaders, people from around the world who want to be in dialogue in a whole new way of approaching information. And of course, the Balinese, being who they are, will both be involved in it and be our teachers and our guides.
And the fact that you've named it Quest for Global Healing, because we are going to become a global society.
We already are.
Facility needs to be in Bali and not in the U.S.
Right.
We need to stop thinking that everything is centered in the U.S.
Well, it's because we have our agenda. And it's unfortunately an agenda that often imposes our way of seeing the world and our culture and
others. That's right. That's right.
And there are ways in which I travel a lot outside the country. I always think if all Americans could have the experience of really touching the culture and the spirituality of other people, we would be much richer.
Exactly.
In our souls.
And we need to go and make that happen. And we can't do it over here.
Right. And you said that I think is just crucial is this idea, and I need to say this, about retreats.
Oh, yes, indeed.
To take the time to go into the silence and to listen. We have this chapter in our book on intuition, going into the silence, listening for the inner guidance to come. And I work a lot in spiritual organizations, and people always talk in the West about prayer. And in the East, they talk about meditation. And I make the distinction, prayer is, we're doing all the talking. Right. It's very active. The meditation allows us to receive. Yeah. So we move from yin to yang and come into balance.
Exactly. And I think meditation and prayer are an integral part of intention. If you are connected to a higher power, if you are saying that you are the source, you can say that too and use yourself as, you know, the richness that you can be. It doesn't matter what way you go in there, but you have to go in.
Yes,
that's right.
you have to go in.
We all agree on.
That's right.
Sure.
We call it the innermost cave. And there's a point on every journey when we have to go in the cave. And if we don't go in voluntarily, the universe will put us in. Then it's not pretty.
That's right.
When you get put in the cave.
Well, we're going to not be in the cave in our next segment, because we're going to be talking about how spirituality and soul work relate to intention and what brings people from unconscious intention to conscious intentionality, which is really inspiring. So everybody, do stay tuned. We have a lot to talk about.
Ready for more? Dr. Joan Kenley continues in a moment. Log on to joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y to learn more and listen to archived shows. Invite your friends and family to listen to The Joan Kenley Show.
I'm Joan Kenley, and you're back with the Joan Kenley Show.
And how can you change your life with loving intention? And we have with us our guests, and they're just popping with good ideas every single segment. And as we come to a close, I hate to see them go from the studio because we could talk for hours.
Absolutely.
Dr. Wenda Braid is just a lovely psychologist, author, television host, and producer, authoring the book Power Choices. And Marcia Jaffe, a good friend for many years, is a conference entrepreneur and the visionary behind the Quest for Global Healing conference series in Bali. As you travel through life, your dreams will guide you. Determination will get you there. And love will provide the greatest scenery of all as we come to talking about spirituality and soul connected to intention. So we really can't complete the picture without talking about the power of love, too, because it's so intrinsic to what takes us from here to there and what are the energies that we can tap into, because there are so many. So who would like to take the baton now to start the conversation about spirituality and soul connected to intention?
I think they're one and the same. Because I really believe intention is spirit moving through us. I remember taking my very first metaphysical class at the Unity Church in 1980. And this teacher stood up, Leilani Bird, I still remember her, and she said, desire is God knocking on the door of your heart trying to give you something. And I went, oh, because I'd always felt secretly guilty about my desires and ambitions.
And of course, guilt is a useless emotion.
Oh, isn't it though? Isn't it though? But I now understand that intention and desire are that place that spirit, and I really do firmly ground in spirit, that spirit is getting through and directing us. It's the still small voice.
Well, there's so many things, I think, that impact what we do. And to think that we think we're in control is such a laugh when you really look at it.
Because we are so not in control.
But we have to be in control enough to recognize other forces.
Yeah, I actually like to substitute the word mastery for control. Because people think of control as I've got my hands on the wheel of the car and I'm... What we're doing is we're steering the car, and that's mastery. It's like skiing or tennis. If you tighten up to control, you're going to fall down or miss the shot every time.
That's right. Actually, that's one of the reasons why this conference that I produced has such an impact, because the Balinese clearly recognize the connection between who we are, our connection to nature, the natural world, and our connection to spirituality in whatever way you want to define it.
Right.
And you feel it when you're there.
Absolutely.
So we use that. I mean, my idea was that we, you know, imagine bringing people with that kind of intention of giving people a chance to plug into who they are, gather information, like having Desmond Tutu and others at a gathering like this, and still be able to impact from the non-linear, the spiritual.
And that's where the greatest power is. And I really see around the world, I know a lot of people are very pessimistic about what's going on, but I don't feel that way.
Oh my gosh.
I think in my lifetime, I was such an activist as a student, I never thought we'd see the end of apartheid.
Right.
I never thought we'd see the Berlin Wall, the conflict in Ireland, the war in Angola, the war
Russia?
In Nicaragua.
How about Russia?
The wall coming down.
Exactly. Right. I mean,
never thought we'd see it, but those things have happened, and it gives me hope that these other ways that we need to bring about global healing, because of conversations like this, because of these ideas, being there in the world in the way that you're holding them, Joan, and you're holding them, Marcia, I'm holding them, those things will happen. And we each have a different piece of this puzzle.
And I think what Marcia noticed when you went to Bali was this collective wisdom in the culture. They really held their space.
Right.
They didn't talk about it. They didn't write about it. They didn't just govern about it. They had a living space for you to live into with your idea.
That's a container for you. Very, very supportive. They live in the collective. And we all talk about wanting to build community. But there are places in the world, of which Bali is one of, where we can learn directly from people who are doing it.
Because we worship individuality here.
Exactly. They don't have to worry about feng shui. They live feng shui. They design recognizing where the moon is, where the sun comes in the morning. They know all of this because they listen so deeply.
Yeah. Well, this is so important because when we talk about collective wisdom changing things.
Yes.
And I do think that's connected to the collective soul as well as the personal soul. We are in the millionth circle talking about how if we talk in circle about conversations that matter deeply to our heart, mind, body, and soul, that we will actually change the vibration on the planet.
Yes, there's no question about that. That has to be true. And one of the things I was just reflecting on is the last chapter of Power Choices is called Innovation. Mm-hmm. And it's through this connection with spirit that we have the strength, mm-hmm. we have the inspiration, we have the power right. to innovate. And we tell the stories of the women Nobel Peace Laureates mm-hmm. and how these women have overcoming circumstances that are astonishing, like Rigoberta Menchu with her entire family right. being killed, but becoming a peace activist right. nonetheless.
And you had some Nobel Peace Laureates.
We actually had. There was an organization in Switzerland that decided that women are so much the peace builders and the peace yes. givers. Why not develop 1,000 women, nominate 1,000
right.
women of peace as one nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize?
Oh, I love
and
that.
And it was offered last year. And if you go on, I think it's 1000womenofpeace.com,
wow.
you'll see their website. Unfortunately, they did not win, but they're going to do it again. And 23 of the women nominated of this 1,000 women were from Indonesia. And we invited all 23, and about 10 of them came to the conference. And it was just extraordinary. Women that are doing work in the tsunami area.
Right.
Women doing work in war-torn areas in Indonesia. And, you know, this is what's hopeful. And when you have a chance to sort of see...
And women living in a culture where they don't have that kind of freedom.
That's right.
Exactly. That's amazing.
But they have an unbelievable energy
yes.
towards moving in that freedom.
I just have to add, I really believe that in the culture, the strength and the direction comes from people really valuing one another mm-hmm. and supporting one another
they
in a
live
way that we
collectively
still have to learn to do.
That's right. That's right. And
well,
that's a
when
big
you're
message
isolated,
for us.
When you're isolated and feel depressed and away from the energy, that's what depression is all
that's
about.
Right. Right.
And
that's
so
right.
moving the energy out. And sometimes I'm wondering, even as in the counseling work that I've done, are there people that are just born with a more of a pessimistic attitude because of the chemistry and the genetic field that they come from, that they have to work harder to become intentional and optimistic, but it's possible.
It is possible. And one of the things we haven't mentioned that I want to just insert is an intention works through the mind, the body, and the soul, and the mind can be the doorkeeper here because mm-hmm. if we decide that depression
choice.
Is the thing we want to heal, then persistently using, you know, Dr. Aaron Beck called it self-talk. We call mm-hmm. it sometimes affirmations, decrees, mm-hmm. chanting in other cultures. But to choose a positive thought and repeat it, repeat it, mm-hmm. repeat it, you're going to get new neural pathways. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel better. Even just chanting, I am a success for 30 seconds, I dare you mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. You are going to feel uplifted.
Every day.
Every day you'll yeah. feel uplifted.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
And that's about choosing, again, the thing that taps into your particular chemistry. For instance, there are some people that want to get up and sing, and that works for them. There are people that need to go running, and that's their spiritual connection
yes.
with nature.
Right.
My husband finds his soul and spirit in the Oakland Hills here when he takes a run or a swim. And so what I also learned from my friends and clients for so many years is that everybody has their doorway and their lens. And what we're trying to say is there's a doorway and a lens for every single person.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you want to take the time to find it for yourself and nurture yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that for each of us, I was listening with so much joy to what each of you had to share today and being so grateful for this time to be here because I'm finding myself feeling more grounded, more energized,
absolutely.
More hopeful, mm-hmm. more supported, just knowing women like you are in the world mm. doing what you're doing and holding this space.
Yeah. Holding the space. Yeah. And I know that Marcia and I are energized as well. I mean, we could probably lift off and we were on for another hour.
Yeah.
And I'd like to end with some wise words from the friend Po Chi Wu that I talked about before. He said, take the initiative to create the future that really excites and motivates you to do more than you ever would have thought possible using conscious, deliberate choices, like in Power Choices, place your attention and intention, not just as a focus, but on your vision with all the creativity and energy that is within you. We've talked about digging in deeply. So this is also what he says too, which I love and I know you agree with. We all want to leave this world a little bit better for our having been here. Working together with our attention in alignment, we can accomplish more than any of us dared to dream.
Beautiful.
So
thank
isn't that lovely?
So that beautiful. Is.
That's wonderful.
And put that on your website.
Well, we're going to on our web tips, too.
Yeah, good.
And he emailed that to me this morning. So we could call this just-in-time inspiration,
yes.
too.
Yes.
So, Marcia, thank you so very much for being here. Brenda, thank you so very
it's
much for
pleasure.
Being
thank
here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, John.
And I know our listeners are in gratitude as well.
Blessings of light to you and all the listeners.
And to you. I'd like to say thanks so much for listening. We want you to know that The Joan Kenley Show brings you conversation radio that's co-created for your listening pleasure with our guests. You can find out more about today's subject and how to reach our guests on my website, joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y, where all our shows are archived, downloadable, and podcastable 24/7. We're also on iTunes and the other top 10 podcast directories. Huge thanks go to those who made this show possible, Peter B. Collins and Christy Healy, and here in the studio, Daniel Fletcher, engineer and technical producer. This is Joan Kenley inviting you to keep listening, and we'll keep you in the conversation.